Well, good morning and welcome to Conversations on WDRT. My name is Ed Holohan, and you're in for a special treat today, dear listener. Our guest today is Sister Valerie Houston. Good morning.
Good morning, Ed.
How are you?
Up.
Up and about?
Yes,
so
I'm here.
How many layers of clothing for you today, my dear?
Oh, I'm down to just my top and my jeans.
Luckily, it's nice and cozy here in the studio,
not
isn't
like
it?
Not like outside.
Now, as you folks may have detected, Valerie is from around the world. Whereabouts, dear?
I am
from... How far?
Well, Australia. Just take off from here and fly southwest, and someday you'll get there.
I remember making that trip, and it did feel like someday.
Yeah.
I was on a packed 747, and there was a honeymoon couple in front of me who were reclined into my face.
Yeah.
It was a splendid flight. Let me tell you a little about Sister Val. Sister Valerie Houston was born in Townsville, Queensland, Australia. That's in the southern hemisphere. Parenthetically, the best part of Earth. Did you know that in her part of the world that, give or take, every day of the year has 12 hours of sunlight and 12 hours of night? Wouldn't that be odd? She attended primary school in Townsville and boarding school in Brisbane from the age of 15. She entered the Sisters of St. Joseph in 1966. Yes, you do the math. And is there to this day. She trained as a math science secondary teacher, worked as a primary school teacher while beginning her science degree. She transferred to the arts because teaching music occupied more and more of her energy. She sings and plays like an angel, take it from me. And of course, so do her students. She is crazy about fish and reefs and the sky and the sea. She thinks that May in the Driftless is so beautiful and remarkably frigid. And there's no argument here. Does that all ring true, Val? Would you say that's a fair enough assessment?
That's pretty good.
Now, I'm sure when I got to the part about the Sisters of St. Joseph, a lot of folks, especially a lot of younger folks in this rather secular part of the world, might be scratching their heads. Would you tell us one way or another what that means to be a Sister of St. Joseph?
Well, I'm noticing from common parlance when everyone introduces me as a nun, that's probably how you'd see it. Technically, there's a difference, but that'll do. But the older folks, I think, still possibly have a concept from the Hollywood version of nun.
Oh, sure.
Sound of Music and whatever. Uh-huh. And back in that early years, yeah, that's what it was.
Uh-huh.
So it's, we're, I guess, strange to some people, but that's what we do.
Well, you look perfectly, wonderfully normal to me.
That's strange. You said to me one time, what's your life like? And that, in my mind, my first word is normal.
Yeah.
And we are. We're just like other people. You know, you get up in the morning, you have breakfast and you have a ministry. It's sort of why you do things.
Okay.
That makes a big difference and what you choose to do. Like I teach in a school. So there are lots of people who go home and they have a family and whatever. But it's sort of primary for us, that ministry. We call it a ministry.
Okay.
And we can do it without, I shouldn't say hindrances, but, you know, if you're married with a family and kids, well, you're at school and you've got to get home and you still got to pick up your kids and take them to football or to ballet or to music. And
that's sort of your primary job. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm spoiled. I'm free to go home and write lessons.
Well, see, that's interesting, the notion of primary. I hadn't talked with you about this before. But other folks in the secular world... have a duality in their lives.
Yeah.
The kids are primary, and your spouse is primary, and for you, the work, the day.
And as I've talked to you before, that had become an issue with me in thinking of defining myself with what I do rather than who I am.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to get to you've spent months now in America, the past few months, on a. What strikes me is the luckiest break in a life, a sabbatical, where you've done so much play and work and song. You enjoying yourself?
then, now, when, always, actually, always. That's the other normal thing.
You know
thing.
What? You're very good at that. You're very good at enjoying yourself. So, just so folks get it, what do you do in the course of a day? I mean, okay, let's get you up in the morning, and then what do you do?
Well, of course, days are slightly different.
Yeah.
I'm an owl, and I hate getting up early. But when I have to leave for work some days at 7:20 to take a record a consort rehearsal at 7:45. Now, there's something. Leave home at 7:20, but I'm at school by 7:30. I just go, drive, woof.
Yeah.
Coming from Townsville, my further school takes me, it's 12 minutes to drive to it.
That's your
and
longest
that's drive,
commute?
Yeah, and it's I have to drive across the city. And that Townsville is the third city of Queensland.
Meaning third in size?
Third in size and importance.
Now, place, we live here in the protected Midwest. Would you place Queensland and Townsville for us?
All right. Visualize Australia in your mind if you can.
Got it.
Maybe not just a blob with ocean all around it. And on the eastern half, it curves out, sort of fat in the middle, and goes up to a pointy top at the. And that area up there, which is about half the length of the coastline, is Queensland. And I'm up about 3/4 way. I live beside the Great Barrier Reef.
Oh, lucky you.
And I live a block from the ocean. And I live on a third floor of my place. And I look at the Coral Sea, Magnetic Island and palm trees every morning. So when you say what my day is like, I get up and I have a chair out there. I can go out and pray because God and I like rocks and sea and whatever. And I just, that doesn't mean I'm saying anything. I just sit there and place myself in the day and then hurry up, have breakfast. My port is packed in at the door. I do not trust myself.
My first lingual interruption. What, pray tell, is your port?
A small suitcase.
Okay, gotcha. Gotcha.
I have a sister I lived with who was embarrassed. She was a young one because I took that instead of a briefcase. And I said, it fits what I need in it.
Yeah.
It's antique, and I still carry it around.
Well, when we film the story of your life, I think that's going to be a very important prop. So don't lose that, okay?
No,
we need that.
I've driven the car over it.
Really?
Yeah, and you just punch it out again. It's one of those really good ones in the old times, you know, with the little clips on it.
Well, now I know what the commercial for the film is going to look like. We'll get the manufacturer and have you drive over it. Yeah, so you're up in the morning, and Adam, you have a school teacher type day, is that?
Well, I'm not music ed anymore because my ears aren't good and I'm getting older, and it takes a lot of energy because when you're a classroom music teacher, I used to have one stage 10 periods a day, 10 half-hour periods, and you'd have grade one come in and then you have grade seven come in and I do like six things in a lesson because it has to be developmental, so you've got to touch in on them.
Yeah.
And because you only see them once a week, sometimes if you're lucky you get twice a week, and you're jumping up and down around the room, rolling around the floor with the little ones and engaging the bigger ones and singing all day. You sing. Don't talk about it. Just do it.
That's tough on a voice, isn't it?
It is very tough. And I come home and go...
Breathing.
And have a cup of coffee and think, have I got enough in the fridge? I live by myself. We live where we are. I've lived in community.
Mm-hmm.
I think six would be the most number, apart from formation, I've lived with. And as people probably see sisters living in a big convent. But we're Australian order and we live where our ministry is.
Okay.
And my ministry is in Townsville doing music. And, of course, I did it for Cath Ed as the music ed consultant and, you know, put a fire under it and train the teachers and the public school teachers after doing my master's over here at Oakland, California. And then I cook my tea, maybe go to choir, maybe watch telly, play with the cat, read, prepare lessons, check my email. You know, like everyone's got to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell myself, listen, you should go and do that. You know that job you're going to? Yeah, I'll do it sometime. All that type of stuff.
Yeah.
Do some reading and go to bed by midnight.
By midnight.
That's just because I don't want to go to bed.
You are an owl, aren't you?
Yeah, I am.
We are on the opposite sides of that.
I live in the other hemisphere.
And it's still, I've only been once, and it was a delightful trip. It still boggles my mind that your day is 12 hours long and your night is 12 hours long, give or take.
Yeah.
You know,
but you're crazy here. We're sitting.
What do you mean? You take that back. What do you mean? We're crazy.
Well, I'm sitting there, and it's light as light as light, and I'm still thinking it's 5 o'clock, and I've got lots of time to go, and it's 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's night time, we have nightfall, and it just goes clunk.
Yeah, we are my two favorite months of the year. Two months around June 21st, where the days are impossibly long. You know, sunrise Solstice. Is around 4:30. Yeah. Sunset is pushing 10 o'clock. It's.
You know, I was up this morning at 4:45 taking that sky.
Heard about this.
And there were still no deers.
Oh, yeah. Maybe we should explain that to folks. You've had several Americans promise you that you would see deer on this trip because, honestly, they are way overpopulated and there's no way you couldn't see one. Have you seen one?
I did. When I was in Chicago, and where they tell us at that house, deer were on the front lawn every morning.
Mm-hmm.
I'd wake up and look out the window at the front lawn, nothing. Look outside windows in the woods, nothing. But we were driving into the city one day, and he stopped the car and backed up because there were four deers in broad daylight,
mm-hmm,
having a munch in a field. So
that
I took photos.
Atta girl. It's such a strange thought for us to think of deer as a special sighting, since most of us are...
Well, you go over to my place to watch kangaroos,
don't
you?
That's right. That's
right. And they don't hop into my yard every morning.
They're ubiquitous for you. Yeah. How long have you been a sister of St. Joseph?
Well, you talked about the maths. I entered in 66.
60, oh, my goodness.
So that's... You worked it out?
That's a lot.
51
years.
That's
51.
Yeah. But we have a long engagement. 3 years before profession.
Yeah. At which point you're in school, you're studying, you're seeing if you want to do this.
What's... Oh, that was separate.
Okay.
That was separate. It was a boarding school for young girls who'd thought maybe they would...
Mm-hmm.
And we don't do that anymore. And I did enter at 18.
Okay.
But you don't take your vows till 3 years after that.
Gotcha.
If you so choose.
So
and they choose to think, all right, we'll try around.
This jubilee you're coming up to is the...
50.
From your vows, from the...
Yep.
Yeah.
50 years, golden jubilee. You're like, wow. Marriages, they're, you know, and that's a big thing.
It's a big thing.
For weddings to celebrate golden jubilees. And... We're realizing that also, well, it is for us, but for people to see fidelity in living in this world.
It's a big one.
Yep.
Yeah, there's lots of examples of... never mind, we're not gonna wander too far. I imagine, but I don't know, I imagine the institution and the life and the notion of sisterhood has changed a bit in 50 years. I mean,
Ed, is your life the same as in the 60s?
Not remotely, even anywhere near.
Right. You know what? I lived in the same world, right? And we've had big changes because things called Vatican Council, which actually happened before, and they said, whoa, stop living in the Dark Ages, go back to your roots, go back to the gospel. All these add-ons that accumulate in structured situations,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Like the army.
Yeah.
I've heard some stupid things that the army was still doing because we've always done it like that.
That's how we do it.
Yeah, that's how we do it. And so they had these special... I can remember that special general chapter, they were asking, like, say at morning prayer, you'd say your office, you know, that's the prayer of the church that all religious and priests could be saying at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had all these add-ons, just these little tiny prayers, add-ons. And they were going through, why do we say this one and why do we say that one? And hardly anyone knew why, but you didn't dare leave them off. But there was a previous superior general, that's like the prime minister.
Okay. And of the order. I won't
mention the other word for here at this point in time.
Thank you, dear.
And when they got to this one, she said, I remember that was so all our brothers and our fathers and that would be home safely from the war.
Okay.
That could have been the First or the Second World War. Yeah. And we were still saying it.
That in itself is a comment on the world, isn't it? That it could be appropriate 25 or 50 or 90 years later. There's bound to be one going on somewhere.
Yep.
So you had all this stuff accumulated in history.
Yep, and wearing a habit, living in big communities that we never did.
Yeah.
But wearing a habit, and so many people were aghast that we stopped wearing a habit.
The Sisters of St. Joseph.
All sisters.
All sisters. Yeah,
there are just some around. They're mainly in European, you know, but maybe over here.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you're possibly walking past them in the street and you don't know unless you know them. And I used to say, well, people who know me, doesn't matter what I'm wearing, I'd be with the youth group and we were playing touch footy in our togs.
Right.
On the beach.
Would you say that again, please? Touch footy in our togs? Come on, just say it. Come on, Val, just say it again.
That's normal.
I agree, but you got to say it again for it. Come on.
Playing touch footy on the beach in our togs.
Togs. What are togs?
Your clothes. Swimsuit, bathers.
Oh, got it. Got it. Yeah.
And touch footy is where you don't, you just tag the person.
Gotcha.
You don't.
Yes,
we
have touch football.
What's that word you use?
Clobber them.
Yeah, our rugby.
No
fellas.
Clobbering.
No clobbering.
That's for rugby, right?
Yeah. You just touch and all the youth. Now this youth is 18 to 22, 23 year olds, not kids.
Okay, strapping beasts.
Yeah, and the girls as well with the
included not
playing the game. And there's all people wandering around and families and dogs on the beach and they're saying, hey, sister, throw the ball. Go. And the people are turning and looking.
Where's her habit?
Where's the sister?
Yeah, I know I would have been up to a point. You know, I grew up traditional Roman Catholic.
Yeah.
And my world was full of nuns, bless their hearts. I was lucky and had great teachers. Sisters of Charity of Halifax, who were brilliant teachers. I swear all of them had 8 degrees and, you know, what they wanted to do was teach. But the rest of the world's notion was that I spent my day being hit by some woman in a black and white frock.
Penguin suit.
Yeah, the penguin suit. And it's so far from what my life was like.
Me and mine too.
Yeah.
And we didn't even wear black. We wore brown.
You're brown and white.
Yeah, and they called us Brown Joeys.
Now, Joey, parenthetically, is a name for a
kangaroo.
Baby kangaroo.
Yeah.
So was that part of the joke, that you were Brown Joeys?
No, it was an endearment.
Oh, okay.
Because we shorten words.
Yes, you do.
You've realized that.
I've noticed. Yeah.
And so to say Josephites is a mouthful.
Yeah.
So we were just Joeys. And some people didn't even realize it had either could have two meanings, the word.
When you, I hadn't thought of this before, when you first meet people, you know, perfect strangers, is it important for you to let them know that you're a sister of St. Joseph? Does it?
Yeah, it'd be context.
Okay.
If it's irrelevant to the situation, no. Like if you're a professor at a uni and you just meet someone casually in some sort of situation that's not work-related or other, do you say, I'm Professor so-and-so the...
No.
Right? So I'm just me.
You just start talking.
I'm Valerie.
Yeah. Yeah. And should it come up? So what do you do? Or, then it comes up. Got it.
Oh, yeah. And someone else might say, and she's a Joey.
Hey, we're sneaking up on a break.
Get the
sneaking indication. You're listening to Conversations, which is our Thursday morning show, talking. My guest today is Sister Valerie Houston from Australia. My name is Ed Holohan, and I want you to stay right there. We'll be right back. Ed Hollihan here. You're listening to Conversations. Our guest today is Valerie Houston. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure talking to you. We spent quite a bit of time talking to each other.
We have.
It's fun to keep
and laughing.
Keep on keeping on. I want to step back a few minutes because I'm fascinated by how folks grow up, because it's obviously a big part of why we are who we are. How did you grow up? Where? Urban, rural, rich, poor, working, not? What was? How'd you grow up?
Well, slowly, as I haven't got far. Ed is just a little taller than I am. I have, you know.
By a hair.
Anyway, I'd say, well, I was born in Townsville, and I grew up most of the time. We had 3 years when we were in Brisbane. Dad's job, and as a government worker, moved him, really, you know, just a few times. Townsville was a young city there then at that time, and it was urban. I lived in a street. The name of my street was Briarfield Street.
Briarfield.
So I like to call it Bindi Patch Street.
Bindi Patch. Yeah. Bindi Patch is a Briarfield?
Bindi is a thorny
thing. Yeah,
got
it. Okay. Nice.
And field could be a patch.
Thanks for translating that.
Yeah.
Did you write that on your return address, on your correspondence?
Oh, I write it in places, just at times.
Nice.
Bindi Patch. Briarfield is so Englishified.
Yeah. We could do an hour on that, the relationship of England to Australia, but that would get awfully...
And more so on US language to English language.
Yeah, big time.
So it was parents. I had two brothers, one 7 years older, one 5 years older. So I came in later. We had very happy family life, wonderful parents. Mum was the stay-at-home mum. You know those days when... Everyone went to school and your lunch was patched, whether it be a pineapple cut in half with greaseproof paper and a rubber bandit and two pieces of bread buttered with a teaspoon.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you just scoop out your pineapple and eat your bread and butter.
Yeah. I found out here people don't have pineapple sandwiches. They are
We don't.
Try it. A fresh piece of bread, don't toast it, and a slice of pineapple.
Really?
And that's it. Butter your bread.
Really?
And put a... slice of pie. It is the most beautiful meal.
I can't wait.
Yep.
Sounds like a piece of cake for...
No, it's a nice sandwich. But don't let it sit, you know, like tomato dribbles.
So as a kid, were you one of those go out to play and I'll see you for tea?
Yeah. It had a hiccup in it. I'd get home from school... Afternoon tea, you know, I'd beat the boys home because they were in secondary school or even David be working by then and get my togs.
Mm-hmm.
And after the river, Mum, sail the belly tank. And she would just point to the piano, not yet. Oh, Mum, I'll do it when I come back, really. I will. And she just point to the piano.
Just like that.
I'm pointing and he's watching.
That's a radio point. It was well done.
Anyway, so I'd sit down and I loved music. But who likes practicing?
I didn't.
No, particularly when you're on your own. It's different when you're playing with someone else.
Mm-hmm.
You can make harmony. But just playing scales and exam pieces. Mm. And so I'd do that for half an hour and she'd say, off you go. And I'd get on my bike and go down the river and get belly tank. Now, what's a belly? I can hear Ed
saying. Yeah, you can see my eyes crossing. Yes. Yes, dear. Pray tell, what is a belly
tank? On the other side of the river, there was nothing. It's all built up now.
Uh-huh.
But a belly tank, on the other side, there was what was called a graveyard of belly tanks. And these are the petrol tank of the small fighters used in the war.
Oh.
Townsville was and still is an Air Force.
Okay.
It's a garrison city, big army there. And they all live. What they did, they dumped them all out there in the Mulga, the kangaroos and the snakes, and they went round with axes and just, they were turned upside down basically or hanging side by, and whacked them.
Mm-hmm.
And what they are, if you take an oval like an egg and push on it sideways.
Yeah.
So it's an oval shape around but doesn't come right up.
Okay.
So you've got this... underneath that can float, and And they usually had a square in the top where they'd cut out some of the stuff that attached it to the plane.
Mm-hmm.
And you found one that didn't have a very large gouge, and you had a hammer with you and you thumped it back, and then you put tar or pitch over it and you dragged it. They weigh a ton.
I was going to say.
Weigh a ton. You took Arthur and I, two of us, this is my next brother, we'd drag it to the river and float it. Of course, displacement, even though it's heavy, the displacement is like big ships, they float.
Yeah, good old science, yeah.
Yeah, and then ours went right down to the seam because it was seamed right around it, and our part missing went right. So we had two ends to sit on. He'd sit on one and I'd sit on the other, and you get a lump of stick and you put two squares on the end for paddle and you'd paddle it, and then we put a broomstick in the middle where the fuel line went out.
It's a great image. This is a wonderful children's book.
Yeah. And then you got that tarred paper, you know.
Yeah.
Did you have tarred paper?
Yep.
Brown paper with tar in. And you cut out a big square and then get another broomstick and put it around the top
and
around the bottom.
I'm picturing a sail here.
Yeah, we got a square rig sail. And then we get in it and use your paddle as a...
Now, let me get this straight. You're sitting in a... two-hole discarded gasoline tank. And you throw it in the river with yourselves in it, and that's your own ironclad you've made.
You could take a cannonball.
It's nice to know you were safe.
One day I was hijacked.
Pray tell, pirates, what?
These young lads who thought they wanted I was in it by myself.
Yeah.
And I just let swing with that.
Good for you.
And didn't stop.
They left. They took the lesson?
They took the lesson. Excellent. They were quite a bit bigger than me.
I won't make any jokes here.
Because that was before I really started to grow to my great height.
Okay, I will make one joke. As we walked into the studio this morning, our wonderful man who's engineering the show, looked at me and said, "Man, you look tall today." And it took me a second. I thought, "Oh yeah, I know why he said that."
Yeah,
because the lady I'm with made me look a little taller.
So that's sort of like home. And then other times we go fishing and swimming and throwing clay at each other at the clay banks, and life was great.
Is it? I know it's not like that. It was like that for me as a kid. I would go out, play ball, maybe come home for
there
lunch,
wasn't
but
television.
Certainly not to where it mattered. No. Yeah. And it's radically different now,
you
know, play groups and appointments and you're not going.
I wouldn't let anyone down the river now by themselves.
Okay. So that's, it's changed.
With pirates to take you.
The same way as. Okay. That's a big missing, I think.
It is.
That was a tremendous education to be on your own and playing, you know, because that is kids' work is playing.
Is to play.
Yeah.
That's why I like teaching music, because we play all the time.
It's a good
point. And not just play an instrument like you would be ready to say, but we play around doing it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'll tell folks that Valerie joined Mary and I reading to the first graders at Pleasant Ridge Waldorf School yesterday. And I was so happy to see you pleasantly surprised by their musicality in the first grade.
Yeah.
And it is because they play. They play at music all the time. And it's very important.
It is. Like human beings.
Yeah, it shows, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When did you have to grow up? I mean, when did this lovely life of sitting in your own tank on the river, when did that
I
have to change?
I don't know that I did.
I'd still like,
if I had a belly tank, I'd go down there now.
Yeah, I bet you would.
I'd take you, and I think you'd like it.
I would love it if you protected me from the pirates by swinging your club.
I'd say you can do it yourself.
How about we do it together? Okay.
Yeah.
Now, were you on the same sort of grade time system that we were? Was there 8 years of grade school? Was there 4 years of high school? Was there?
Yeah. We've gone the end of primary school. We call it primary school and secondary school.
Okay, yeah.
College is beyond
school. Okay.
Right. That's uni or tech college or something like that, business college. When I went through... eighth grade was the last, and that didn't count like kindergarten or whatever, from grade 1 to grade 8.
Right.
Now they're down to grade six. It went to seven.
Middle school?
Now they do. No, they just go straight into secondary.
Okay.
And they have 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. But they're gradually working to make a middle school section. But because our structure, building-wise, is still two campuses.
Right.
Except for really big schools, that'll take a while before they can split it up. We've been left with more room in our primary schools at present, which is very nice.
It's very nice.
You can get a bigger music room.
So tell me, at some point, the calling, your calling, your personal calling, comes, and what do you do with it?
Well, for one thing, it was the last thing in the world I wanted to. I used to go to Mass every day, not Saturday. Jesus was my friend.
Right.
We did everything together.
Mm-hmm.
Sailed belly tanks, went fishing, snorkeled on the reef. And I always took him with me, just in case he'd miss some of it.
Well, you wouldn't want that.
No. But I used to go to Mass, and at the end of scholarship, which was public exam, grade eight, this wonderful teacher I'd had for 3 years, who was really good in, you know, pushing me and encouraging, she said, held me back as we were leaving, and she said, "Have you ever thought of entering?" I said, a team of wild horses wouldn't get me there.
No kidding.
I've got other minds. I'm going to be an ichthyologist. I'm going to do ballroom dancing still, and I'm going to, what was the other thing? Oh, have a whole lot of kids.
Yeah.
She said, all right. Then I went into secondary school, and there was where I used to have a ball at playtime, taught him to play deck tennis, which she had taught us in primary school. And there wasn't much room at this school, in the secondary school, and the girls liked to sit around and talk, and I wasn't particularly interested. Like they'd say, "I saw your boyfriend the other day," and I'd just look at them and say, "Which one?"
Yeah, yeah.
But it seemed to obsess them. I mean, I had a lot of friends, boys, but I wasn't going to spend my time talking about them. Anyway, she said to me, she sort of was a bit of a loner, I'm thinking about being a sister. "Oh, yeah," says I. She said, "Would you come over to the church at lunchtime, say the rosary with me?" I was sort of rolling my eyes when she couldn't see me, to help me decide if that's for me. It was the last thing in the world and I was thinking, it's going to be a real quick rosary. And I said, all right. I knew no one else would have. I don't think she would have asked anyone else. So
yeah.
Off we went, got it over with and got back to deck tennis. And at the end of it, she said, "Yes, I want to. Would you take me to meet the Sisters of St. Joseph where you went?" Because this was a different congregation school. I said, all right. So I took her over and introduced her and went and sat on the veranda. And then here she is, all of 14, 15, talking about this. And she went home and told her father, and he said, "Not on your life. I don't want to hear another thing about that." And
there
never was, for her. Not that she would have ended then.
Mm-hmm.
But it kept coming into my mind, be a sister, be a sister. And I'm saying, no, 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 no. And one day I sort of thought, this is not coming from me.
Mm-hmm.
I was right against this, but I had this belief. In simple terms, like we'd got a new a stereogram, you know, with beautiful records, and it had this book of instructions. Well, it wasn't a book, it was just a few pages actually, and people would just try to use it. I said, "No, read the instructions." And I used to say, the people who built this machine know how it's meant to work, and they write there and tell you, so wouldn't you do what they say? Mm-hmm. Well, you could break it. And unfortunately, that still affects me because I won't just push anything on a computer because I'm afraid it'll break, whereas the kids just go bang, 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 bang until it works.
Yeah.
But anyway, God made me, he wants the best happiness for me. He loves me and he wants me to be the happiest. He didn't make me for a sad life or anything. He meant me and he knows how he made me and he knows what's best for me. So who do I go by, me or you? All right. So I said, I'll go. But
did you say it just like that?
Yeah, I did. I can remember. I was kneeling down by my bed praying. And I said, and it was how I entered. It was still there. And I said, listen, if I'm barking up the wrong tree, if I've got a mixed message, don't you dare let me keep going.
Mm-hmm.
And I fought for about 2.5 years as people left around me. You know, mm-hmm. you enter with a mob of us and like 66 and we...
Oh, my. Yeah.
After 1 year, we went as 50 to the novitiate and they still... Because that's normal.
That's the process, yeah.
And somewhere during that second year novitiate, which would have been my third year in, it wasn't that I said, yes, I suddenly realised I wasn't saying no.
Okay, that's a fine distinction.
Hadn't noticed that I wasn't fighting.
Yeah.
So when it came to ask, you know, to be professed, I did. And here I am.
And here you are.
I mean, you can. People have left a lot since then, particularly as the times changed.
Yeah.
And that's fine. We take simple vows. You say for your whole life, but you can, you know, you can get.
Could you tell folks what you mean by simple vows? What are they?
Simple vows. Well, it's sort of a canon law language.
Okay.
People like Benedictines, Carmelites, you know, who live in enclosed orders.
Right.
They're called solemn vows, and I haven't a clue what that means, but I just think they're a higher step up of seriousness or whatever. Ours are serious, and you get a dispensation.
To be sure, yeah.
Yeah, if you decide this is not. And a lot, and I think we have so much strength out in the community of ex-religious
mm-hmm.
and ex-priests.
Yeah.
Who do so much good. They're still the good people they were. They still see themselves on mission and ministry.
Absolutely.
And like how many people these days where times change, attitudes change, life change, people change, you might have different stages in your life for what you do or are.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't make you less.
Hardly.
No.
Yeah.
It's, and it takes a lot of courage for these people. Big time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Easier now, but in those days, you didn't even know when they were leaving.
Is that right?
Yeah, they were got up early in the morning.
No kidding.
And you go to prayer, and someone was, because we sat in the same place.
And where is Sister so-and-so?
And my best friend, but she told me.
Yeah.
Thank goodness. Because so she said, we had a little sort of locker thing in the community room mm-hmm. where we put stuff that we might do at night, music, you know, handwork, paints. And she said, can I, I'm leaving, she told me. And she put stuff in my locker so people wouldn't notice when she opened hers that she'd emptied it.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a story.
It is.
I'm glad she told you. It'd be a heck of a way to find out. She's just not there in the morning.
Yeah. Oh, it doesn't. Then it was positive. This is, you know, back in the 60s.
Way back there.
Way back there.
Some of us vaguely remember that.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure you do. It was a big turmoil in everyone's way they looked
absolutely.
At life.
Absolutely. Everything.
Yep.
Everything. And on that note, we're going to step away for a minute. You're listening to Conversations on WDRT Radio, community radio of the finest sort. My guest today is Valerie Houston from the other side of Earth. Thank you again for joining us. My name is Ed Hollihan. You stay right there. We will be right back. Welcome back. Welcome back to Conversations, which in this case, this morning, is between myself, Ed Hollihan, and my extraordinary guest, Sister Valerie Houston.
Yeah, we're back.
Yeah,
where did we go, Ed?
You know what? One of the wonderful things about Radioland is you can say things like, we're going to take a break, or we'll be back. And I just let folks imagine, well, did they go out? Is this 2 days later? Is this 2 minutes later?
Well, I hate to tell you people, we didn't really get a break at all. We just had a little yak and we said, right, we're going, put your stuff on, let's go.
Yes, we had a little check-in, we call it. See how it's going. We think it's going swimmingly, and I'm glad you do too, or else you wouldn't be there anymore. I do have to get to this because, yeah, we could go for many hours. You've been in America for several months on your much deserved and long put off sabbatical.
Mm-hmm.
Start where you want, but as long as it's, I like that. What were your intentions? What was your point to doing this at the beginning? We'll talk about where it went later.
Right. Well, to do a sabbatical as a religious, I guess anyone, it's a good idea if they can manage it. It's to pull back from what you're doing, to reassess, to have time. You know, when you're at work or doing something, you know, one day follows another, follows another, follows another.
Mm-hmm.
And you can lose sight of a big picture. You're just looking at day by day, week by week, term by term, whatever you're doing. You know, for married people, the kids, we've got to go to the next meeting. How are we keeping up the bank payments on the house? And it just goes
right.
Day by day. But it's nice to, and people are doing this now, they pull out and go on retreat.
Mm-hmm.
They give time for themselves. They send the kids off to grandma and granddad and take time for themselves, which is so important. And religious do that, and often by the time they're 50, and you have, I did a 3-month sabbatical, which is a pretty normal time to do it, and I did it in spring from USA thing. Our school year ends in December and we start again at the end of January.
Okay.
So we go with the calendar year, not like people who do it backwards over here, but it's probably to do with seasons.
Excuse me? We do it what?
Nothing.
We do it what?
Said nothing.
Okay, dear.
Nothing. You're just slow to pick it up.
You almost made me spit my coffee.
Anyway, if I hadn't done the spring sabbatical in US terms, that is February, March, April, which was quite cold at the beginning. Not that it snowed. It did nearly sort of snow one day.
Oh, horror of horrors. It did
no,
nearly
I was
sort
way,
of...
I was... And so if I hadn't done the spring one and waited till fall at this place I found to do one, I was going to be 70 before that, and I thought, this is absolutely stupidly ridiculous to wait that long. So I went and it was 3 months, and you can look up, we have... Sabbaticals are available everywhere, all over the world, like, you know, the Isle of Skye and in the Hebrides and in Wales, and you can do sort of Zen Buddhist sort of ones, which I appeals to me from the prayer point of view. They know how to meditate. And but I found this one in the States, and it was about eco-spirituality and the arts. And I said, well, that's my sabbatical.
That's a light bulb for you because it sounds just like you.
Yeah. And my superior, we don't use that word, the one I had to mention that I'd be doing this, she said, did they write this for you?
No kidding. Yeah. Oh, someone else noticed. Huh?
And, of course, I'm all into earth care and the ecology, and this took me so much deeper into that. It was in the new cosmology and the spirituality from that, and Thomas Berry and Brian Swim and back to Teilhard de Chardin, whom I liked that earlier. And I just got so, so much more about this. And it just suited me down to the ground, and we did all these sorts of arts that were wonderful, because you really can't have a... Spirituality, I mean, the arts are important to spirituality. Ritual is part of life.
Mm-hmm.
Spirituality is not something in your head to think about. It's an, I mean, you do, but it's experiential. And what is the skipping through talking to experience is art.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's nice.
It is. It's immediate. It bypasses words, whatever art bypasses words. You don't have to sit and listen to music and say, oh, yes, that's great. I love that theme, and now this variation. I mean, that'd be a crime if you did. It's just, you don't have to even know.
Yeah.
About.
You don't need the words.
Or know the form, you know, how mm-hmm. it's formed or what key it was in. But knowledge does increase your ability to love something, as Luther said. The more love you have of something, the more you can. No, the more knowledge you have of something, the deeper can be the
mm-hmm.
love.
Mm-hmm.
But as one of my friends says, the more you know about music, the harder it is for you to like it. Yeah, that's because I don't like crappy music.
We can use that for one of your epitaphs, okay? Sister Val, she didn't like crappy music.
Well, no, it's not. It's just sold for money yeah. and put yeah. together and
yeah.
by machines, and it mm-hmm. lasts on the hit parade for. I don't mean I mean Beatles music. And, you know, all this stuff. They had, some of them have really, really good music.
Absolutely.
But there's a lot of rubbish along the way.
Yeah. I remember talking to a producer, a music producer, who was talking and left the names out that he was working with some major acts. And they would go through the whole session, you know, sometimes 2 hours, sometimes 4 hours, but nobody singing in key. And he was unfazed by it. And he looked at me and says, well, we just tune them later. He meant mechanically. And I was, this is old hat now. It's standard. But I was stunned because I had never heard it before. It didn't matter whether they could sing because he would tune them later. Just, isn't that remarkable?
That is frightful.
Yeah, I thought I'd tell you that. Yeah.
That is disgraceful.
So in your head, on your sabbatical, you're talking about a practice, aren't you? I think that's why Buddhists and folks like that call the process, you know, you're in it.
Yeah, well, Buddhism, it's got a lot to do with our vows too.
Uh-huh.
Like one of their, I always forget what you would call it, the sort of, it's a standpoint, this acquisitiveness. He said, we all have the ability to be happy. And why aren't we happy? And it's to do with acquisitiveness, wanting what we cannot have.
Yeah.
And it's all about going into yourself. Like, God lives in me.
Mm-hmm.
We are mates. We've been mates forever. Mm-hmm. And to deepen my relationship, I've got to go into myself, not outside.
Yeah.
That helps and colours and,
mm-hmm.
and backs it up. But I've got to take the time to quiet, stop the little tape recorder that, you know, runs around your head, constantly, yeah. and listen to God.
Now, this is a good time for me to say this. I've heard you say, right out loud, that prayer is not just reciting yada, 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 yada. Oh. Prayer is listening.
Yeah, yeah. It's not like saying, give me, give me, give me, or, you know, can I? And also, but, something else came up then. Like when I went, you know, God took him, I go to the rocks, I love fishing, and over on Magnetic Island, that's off Townsville. We went there at Christmas holidays and sometimes in between. And I'd go fishing by myself.
Mm-hmm.
I am an introvert, though no one believes it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I'll take that on faith. I'm very good at that. I'll just believe you. You're an introvert.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So to go fishing, people say, why would you go by yourself? Well, I like being by myself.
Yeah.
And it's really, I've learned as I've learned more about myself and living that that's what introvert, like I have to work. You can't teach kids as an introvert.
Good point.
You know, unless you're teaching them bookkeeping, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But not art, not arts, not music.
Yeah.
And so you jump around and you play the fool and muck around and have fun. But then you go home and go, and you've got to re-energize yourself by yourself. Well, I do. That's what an introvert has to do.
Because mm-hmm.
all of us have to be extrovert at times.
Sure.
And but then the real extrovert stays like that, or they get,
They go the other way.
Yeah, they can't stand
where's my being people?
being by themselves. So anyway, fishing, that's a long answer. I'd sit there and God, I'd have the sick friend you had as a kid, maybe?
Yeah, the imaginary one.
Yeah, sure. Well, Jesus went fishing with me, rode the bike with me, and we joked together, and I'd get cranky with him for having the fish hide away, and it was just normal. And
you could certainly do worse for a friend.
Yeah. We knew each other on first time basis. He called me Valerie, I called him Jesus.
There you go. Yep. So the rocks, the sea, the reef is a haven for you, isn't it?
It's very, very meaningful. And it came up a few times on the sabbatical because we're away from the sea, and some of my writing had come up, and I just cry. And it's, I don't know what it is. My sister-in-law says I'm one of those people who used to live in Atlanta.
Okay, got it.
You know, so but there's a connection that I have no control over. So seeing I'm not a marine biologist, which I wanted to be because there was nowhere in...
Well, you're darn close, my dear. When you go off on fishes and reefs and what's living and what's not, and you at Reef HQ, you have to explain that to folks, you are...
I'm doing what I can now.
Yeah.
Reef HQ is in Townsville, and it's the largest living reef aquarium in the world. Operative word is living, not largest. It's not as big as some big aquariums, but it is, all the coral is live coral. All the plants are live plants. There's no plastic.
Okay.
It spawns when the reef spawns. It's used as front of house for the Great Barrier Reef Marine Park Authority, which is such a mouthful, it's Grumper. And AIMS, the Australian Institute of Marine Science, where people from all over the world come to study. I was just born before my time.
Okay.
And Maggie Island, my favourite bay where I used to fish.
Is that Magnetic Island?
Magnetic. Maggie. Okay. Captain Cook named it because it sent his compass crazy. And must have magnetic rocks. Three-quarters of it is national park. And that's where it was discovered by a marine scientist and her team. They were very young. It was the belief in science at the time that different species of coral spawn at different times. And any reef is made up of many, 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 many varieties of coral.
Is that right? I didn't know that.
And they discovered that they all spawned at the same time. And that's where you get, you know, you see it on television now. But see, we didn't have television. And that's where it was discovered first in the world. They collected all of this and found and had all these volunteers. I wish I'd been there.
Yeah, I bet you do.
And put them in tubs and kept them aerated, and it went worldwide discovery on Magnetic Island in my bay.
Right in your backyard, or your front yard, as it were.
Side yard.
Yeah. I've been to the reef, and I was not a water child, even though I grew up on the East Coast, the Atlantic Ocean, the gray ocean, I like to call it, the gray ocean.
Freezing.
But I just was not a water kid. I just wasn't. So I had a teeniest bit of trepidation when somebody said, why don't you get in this glass submarine and... go look. You know, I was thinking, well, will I be claustrophobic? Will I be left? I was lost. I was transported. You talk about being somewhere else. Man. So you were lucky. I mean, that's your world.
Yep. When you go under and you're not in that. Now, I don't scuba dive. That's, you know, with the apparatus breathing, just snorkel. Well, as a kid, didn't even have a snorkel, had a face mask. That was it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And you paddle around on the top and then dive down, and all the little fish come up and peck on your mask. And when you're up above, I mean the sun, we've got the most hours of sunlight in Townsville anywhere in Australia.
Okay.
And in a year, the sun is very strong. Remember the dim joke?
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
And so when you're up and you're in the middle of summer, because it was Christmas holidays, the sun is very strong. Birds, not the pretty ones you've got, but seagulls and screeching and terns and whatever. All this sound and the waves and on the sand and back on the beach. And you put your head in and there's silence and nothing moves quickly. They just glide around.
Yeah.
and the water plants just bend, and it's just whoop, a sudden change.
Buoyancy is a wonderful thing, isn't it? Yeah. Sometimes I wish, I often wish that I could fly, you know. I still have flying dreams, and they're delightful. And as you know, having watched birds with us for all these days, I would also love to be one of those swimmers, you know. Mm. Stay here, stay there as long as you want. Move slowly, look good.
Be a dolphin.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe next time around, though.
They're not a fish, but they
They're not
nice.
A fish, but yeah. It's a lovely... Do you have dolphins there?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I go fishing with my cousin and dolphins come up. And we were heading and he was a very, I don't know if it was the albino, but very, very pale. And it was just sunset time. It was just, the water was mirror flat. And we're going along, we're going, heading home. And I said, there's a dolphin. Slow down. And I was ready to... I wanted to give him some fish, some bait left over. And Graham just went around and I said, why don't you stop? He said, that's a wild dolphin, but he might have come. They're intelligent beings. You see a fish there? Yeah.
They do make choices, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, we are, believe it or not, coming down to the end of our time. You've been on the planet for a while now, and you've been being yourself and doing what you do. If you had to, if I asked you kindly to leave our listeners with a few words about what you've learned and what you know for sure, would you do that?
Hmm. Well, as has come up for a while, whether you believe in God or what your God is like, there is a creator. And for me, that's the God I know. And is a loving friend. And so relating to God and God relating to you is as a loving friend. And then Jesus said, what shall we do? Because the scribes and Pharisees had all these stupid little rules. Congregations used to have. And he said, love one another as I have loved you. So it's what it's about, not possessing, not doing well in business, not it's loving people and then you're loving God too. And the whole world would be a much nicer place too. So, and for people, if you want peace in the world, it says, you know, work for justice. Mm-hmm. So part of loving is justice, and we've got enough to do. That's what we can do our bit, little as it may be. Mother Teresa, did you see one person in need? She do it. Our foundress, Mary MacKillop, said, never see a need without trying to do something about it. So,
and on that note, never see a need without trying to do something about it. Valerie Houston, thank you so much. It's been
such a great
hour. Do you want to do 6 or 7 more of these one of these days? How about when I come see you for your
That's
Jubilee?
That's a good idea.
Let's do another
2019.
One. It's a deal. And thank you, dear heart, for listening to Conversation today. My name is Ed Hollihan, and I invite you to tune in every week at this time for another conversation with another fascinating human.